Hello, this is Dr. Grande. Today I will analyze the case of Jim and Nikki Capello. First I'll look at the background of this case, move to the timeline of the crime, then offer my analysis. James Capello was born on May 27, 1981 in Buffalo, New York. He went by the name Jim. He was raised by his father James and his mother Kathleen. When he was young, his parents divorced and he eventually moved with his mother to Huntsville, Alabama. In 2006, Jim found work as a private investigator in Madison, Alabama. Later, he started his own investigative agency in Huntsville. In 2008, Jim became romantically involved with a woman named Marjorie, who went by the name Nikki. They met when he saw her sitting in a vehicle as he was riding past on a motorcycle. He turned around and gave her his phone number. Based on how this story later turns out, Jim managed to turn motorcycle riding into an even more dangerous activity. The couple married in 2010 and had a daughter named Riley in the summer of 2014. Jim continued running his private investigation company as Nikki worked as a nurse. At some point, Nikki started complaining about experiencing pain, which she attributed to a mysterious prior injury. Jim suspected that Nikki was misusing prescription pain medication, and he discovered that she had secret bank accounts. In 2016, he told family members that he caught Nikki making plans to meet a drug dealer, and she intended on bringing her daughter to the meeting. Jim was worried about the safety of his daughter. At around this time, Nikki was fired from her job as a nurse. She placed the blame on her employer. However, Nikki had allegedly fallen asleep at work and disappeared while she was supposed to be on duty. Either way, Nikki's loss of employment led to financial problems for the family. In the summer of 2017, Nikki found another job, this time working as a nurse at the North Alabama Specialty Hospital in Athens. Apparently, now believing that their money problems were over, the family purchased a larger house on June 30, 2017, for $178,000. It was located at 8013 Lauderdale Road, Southwest. Right after moving, Jim started having an affair with another private investigator named Laura. Later, in court, Laura would say that Jim had unmet needs. Jim may have been concerned about what would happen as far as child support if he left Nikki, and came up with a plan to obtain custody of his daughter. He started investigating his own wife in an effort to prove that she was using drugs. This way, he could argue to the court that she was an unfit mother and should not have custody. As part of his investigation, Jim installed a GPS tracking device on Nikki's vehicle and searched her bags. He claimed that he found medication, like oxycodone and insulin, which was packaged in a way consistent with coming from a hospital. Essentially, Jim was saying that Nikki had taken drugs from the hospital where she worked. Before moving to the timeline of the crime, let's hear a word from today's sponsor, Venice AI. Recent headlines have made the privacy risks of mainstream AI impossible to ignore. ChatGPT now references all past conversations, and OpenAI added the former director of the NSA to its board, an announcement Edward Snowden called a willful, calculated betrayal of the rights of every person on Earth. Even Sam Altman has said that people should wait for real privacy clarity before trusting these systems. Private conversations, personal searches, and creative ideas are being funneled into corporate servers with unclear data practices and expanding access to your history. Venice takes the opposite approach. It runs powerful open-source AI models directly in your browser or app. All conversations are encrypted and only stored on your device. No corporation, no board, and no government gains access. There are no filters deciding which ideas are allowed. I prefer Venice because it provides unrestricted access and straightforward answers. Mainstream AI platforms often behave like judgmental gatekeepers, refusing harmless topics or blocking perfectly reasonable lines of thought. Their condescending and moralizing responses are nothing short of passive-aggressive and self-righteous. Venice doesn't lecture, moralize, or decide which ideas are acceptable. It simply responds, privately and directly, without filters or condescension. That consistency and openness makes it a far more reliable tool in my day-to-day work. AI can be transformative without demanding a sacrifice of privacy. Visit venice.ai/drtoddgrande and use code Dr. Todd Grande to receive 20% off a pro plan and maintain full control over your data and your conversations. Now moving to the timeline of the crime. On September 11, 2018, 37-year-old Jim Capello told his family members that he was not feeling well and that he had fallen down a set of stairs. It seemed clear that he was impaired, and he believed that Nikki was drugging him. A few days later, Jim appeared to recover, and he returned to work as a private investigator. Right after this, however, he once again became impaired and had difficulty speaking. On Thursday, September 20, 2018, Jim failed to show up to work, so his coworkers requested a welfare check from the police. Just after midnight, now on Friday, September 21, officers paid a visit to Jim's house. Through a doorbell camera, Nikki said that Jim was missing. Eventually, she came to the door and spoke to the police in person. Nikki told the officers that she last spoke to Jim that day at around 5 a.m. She did not know where he was and planned to report him missing. The officers did not appear to be completely satisfied with her explanation, but they left anyway. Several hours later, at about midday on Friday, Nikki filed a missing person report. On Saturday, September 22, 2018, the police went to Nikki's house and asked her if they could search it. She granted permission to search the interior of the house, but said, quote, "I would prefer you to not go in the garage," unquote. Nikki was transported to a police station, and the police secured a search warrant for the house. When they made entry, they could smell an odor of decomposition. In the garage, the one place Nikki didn't want them to look, they found Jim's dead body. His torso was on the floor, and his legs were on the floorboard in front of the passenger seat of a Corvette he was attempting to restore. It appeared as though somebody had tried to load him into the vehicle, but he was too heavy. As the search continued, the police made more discoveries. For example, in the backyard, there was a freshly dug grave, a shovel, and a pair of women's shoes. In a nightstand next to Nikki's side of the bed, there was one unused insulin needle. Nikki was interviewed at the police station. She claimed that she did not want the police to search her garage because there were car parts everywhere. When pressed for a more logical answer, Nikki changed her story. She claimed that she found Jim dead. When she was asked why she failed to notify the police about this grim discovery, Nikki said that she was scared about how things would look. She then asked for an attorney, and the interview was ended. Nikki Capello was arrested and charged with murder. 2 days later, she was released on bail. In 2022, Nikki went to trial. On May 19 of that year, she was found guilty of murder. On July 14, 2022, Nikki was sentenced to life in prison with the possibility of parole. Her first parole consideration hearing is scheduled for June 1, 2037. A lawsuit was filed against Nikki on behalf of Jim's estate, and the estate was awarded $10 million. It seems unlikely the estate will ever collect any of that money. Now moving to my analysis. Nikki Capello maintains her innocence, although she does not appear to have any supporters. Her argument was based on the fact that Jim's cause of death was undetermined. If the state of Alabama could not prove how he died, how could they prove that Nikki killed him? The state, of course, disagreed. They argued that Nikki must have killed Jim using insulin. Traces of this drug disappear from a body a few days after death, which explains why none was found in Jim's system. This brings me to the question, is Nikki guilty of murder? Let's take a look at the evidence both for and against the idea that she is guilty, starting with the inculpatory factors. About a year before his death, Jim started having an affair with a coworker named Laura. This gave Nikki a motive to kill him. It appeared as though Nikki had difficulty regulating her intake of substances. For example, during a family visit in April 2018, she was slumped on a couch and could not keep her eyes open. In September 2018, when the police told her that she was under arrest, she said that she was worried about withdrawing from medication that she was taking. Jim appeared to be focused on using Nikki's substance use against her in court to the point where he spied on her. Nikki may have viewed this as unsupportive. 9 days before he went missing, Jim was not feeling well and he was impaired. He believed that Nikki was drugging him. The day before he went missing, Jim was incoherent while talking to a coworker in the morning. His affair partner, Laura, spoke to him later. He was so incoherent, she disconnected the call and sent him a message that read, "You're going to have to text." On the day he went missing, Laura sent him a text message that read, "I hope you're still alive." When the police searched Jim's house, they found his body in the garage, a grave and a shovel in the backyard, and an insulin needle in Nikki's bedroom. Neither Jim nor Nikki had a prescription for insulin. Nikki later admitted that she knew Jim's body was in the garage, yet she failed to contact the authorities. A nurse named Crystal, who was a friend of Nikki's, told the police that Nikki confessed to murdering Jim and requested help disposing of his body. Nikki's close friend Ashley said that on several occasions, Nikki mentioned killing Jim. Nikki said that if she used insulin, the police would not be able to determine the cause of death because it absorbs into the body after a few days. Ashley never contacted the police because she thought Nikki was joking about the murder part. Now moving to the exculpatory factors. The cause of Jim's death was never determined. If Jim did in fact die from insulin poisoning, as the state theorized, he could have administered the insulin to himself, or someone other than Nikki could have killed him. That's pretty much it for the exculpatory factors. When considering all the evidence in this case, do I believe that Nikki is guilty? Yes. In my opinion, she is guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. What do I think happened in this case? This is just a theory, my opinion. Jim and Nikki each engaged in undesirable behavior, although the behavior took different forms. Jim had an affair and Nikki used substances. They were both completely focused on their own desires. In Nikki's substance use, Jim saw an opportunity to get away from her and to avoid child support. He used his private investigation skills to build a case against Nikki. Jim continued to live with Nikki at their house, even though he had a lover. Nikki was not too happy about this and decided to murder Jim. As a nurse, she was familiar with insulin. She knew that if she used the drug to kill him, it would be undetectable after a few days. In addition to concealing his cause of death, Nikki intended to conceal Jim's body as an extra layer of protection against being arrested and convicted. Nikki's first attempt to kill Jim with insulin was unsuccessful. He became sick, but then made a recovery. When Nikki tried for the second time, she managed to complete the murder. The problem Nikki had as far as escaping responsibility was that Jim was too heavy to move around. She dragged his body to the garage, but could not lift him into his Corvette. After hitting this roadblock, Nikki came up with another plan. She used a shovel to dig a hole in her backyard. This proved to be physically demanding, and Nikki gave up. She called a friend of hers, who was also a nurse, and asked for help with the body disposal. Nikki had such a poor understanding of human behavior, she actually believed the friend would give her assistance. When that did not happen, Nikki was out of options. She knew the police were going to find the body. Her only hope at this point was to pretend that she did not know what happened to Jim. She didn't murder him. Maybe he died of natural causes, or maybe someone else killed him. Nikki was going to have to rely on the undetectable nature of insulin as her defense. The cause of death was never determined, but that was not enough to save Nikki from a magical prison journey. Now moving to my final thoughts. The story of Nikki Capello was covered on an episode of the Investigation Discovery series, American Monster. Overall, this series is decent. It offers more background information than many other true crime shows, but that doesn't mean that it is problem-free. American Monster tends to frame murder cases as black and white, which is a difficulty observed in many similar TV shows. For instance, in the case of Jim and Nikki Capello, Jim was represented as a saint who was simply trying to save his daughter from the evil Nikki, practically floating a few inches above the ground, radiating joy as angels played harps in the background. Nikki, on the other hand, was portrayed as a heartless drug user who targeted Jim for absolutely no reason, as if she held nightly strategy meetings with Satan and was quietly working on world domination. The show completely left out the fact that Jim had been unfaithful for a year leading up to his murder. That, of course, doesn't mean that Nikki was justified in killing Jim, but it does provide a possible motive. It explains why the crime may have happened. The case doesn't seem as mysterious when the infidelity part is revealed. There's a sense that TV producers have this unceasing and illogical desire for stories with clear heroes and villains. The line between the characters is very clear. Some are completely good, and some are completely bad. This desire is so strong, they leave out key details to protect the victim's reputation. One significant reason for reviewing and analyzing true crime stories is that people can learn about human behavior. The learning objective is compromised if TV shows refused to accurately portray the facts of a case. If someone watched the American Monster episode on Jim and Nikki Capello, they might be left with this feeling that Nikki's drug use caused her to become homicidal. Maybe Nikki's drug use contributed to the murder. Maybe it was Jim's infidelity. Or perhaps there is some other unknown motive. Regardless of which theory is true in reality, people deserve to have all the facts so they can come to their own conclusion. Twisting a story into a pretzel to protect the murder victim does not honor the victim. Only the truth can accomplish that goal. Those are my thoughts in the case of Jim and Nikki Capello. Thank you so much for watching. I'll talk to you soon.